Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Come, walk down the winding path. Don't mind the spooks and monsters. They stay hidden within the trees. There are mysteries in this world that you need to know, and paranormal truths that need to be told. Come, step up into the caravan, where we share tales of old as well as new accounts about things you thought only existed in your nightmares.
A special shout out to our patrons, Jose, Frater Mutata in Lumine, Victoria, Kadrick, and Donna. Thank you.
Okay, well, hello everyone, and welcome back inside the caravan. Joining us on this episode is Patty Negri, who many of you may know from Ghost Adventures. Patty is a psychic medium who has been practicing natural magic all her life. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. This is great.
Yeah, we're super excited.
Yes, we're so excited
to have
you. That you could be here.
Yeah. I wanted to say really quickly before we really get going is that thank you for writing the intro to the Feminine Macabre. It's so awesome that you're a part of this.
Yes, honored to be a part of it. It's like, yes, women, we need more women. My God. Yeah. So just truly honored to be a part of it. So yeah. So
that's awesome.
I just started reading it too. I just got it.
Yeah. I have a piece in there on the cursed objects associated with the Bellwitch Cave.
Nice.
And I know Lady Anne was super excited when I told her that you were writing the foreword for it. She was all on it.
Yes, I thought that was awesome. For those of our listeners who don't know about the book, could you share a little bit about it, Heather?
So the Feminine Macabre is it's a women's journal of all things strange and unusual. And Spook Eats is the name of Amanda's name. She put this out, and actually there's an opening for submissions for volume 2 right now. This was the first volume for this all-female paranormal strange high strangeness journal. There are 30 women included in there, and I think she said based on the onslaught of entries she has already that this next volume is going to be even larger. So Wow. Yeah, it's pretty impressive, and it's sitting at over 300 pages right now, the volume 1. So nice. I can only imagine what volume 2 is going to look like.
The old fashioned encyclopedia. There you go. We need we don't have good old big books anymore.
Yes, I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
No, I think it is great and great that she did that, and she's bringing out the feminine. We're trying to do that with Paraflix too, trying to get more women to submit anything, films, shorts, mm-hmm. television programs. We just need to be better represented.
Yeah, no, that's really true. And I have definitely been loving Paraflix. I ended up watching Portraits.
Oh.
That was the very first one that I watched, and I adored that. I loved you in it. That was fantastic.
my 3 minutes, my cameo, yeah.
I loved it. It was so good.
Thanks. It's so pretty. And I love it. Again, it was a woman written, woman directed. And just every, it's just, to me, it's just every film is so pretty. I mean, every shot is so pretty.
Yes.
It's an art piece in itself.
It really is. It really is. I loved every minute of it. And I found myself wishing for more, something else like that. But you really don't find that stuff very often.
No.
So.
No. We're all working on it, mm-hmm. right? Right. And here we are, women.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Exactly. And then as we're also mentioning Paraflix, I wanted to also mention The Haunted Diary. You are a teacher over there.
Yes,
and
I am.
I was wondering if you could tell our listeners, what kind of classes have you already taught and do you have any upcoming?
Yes, I have lots of upcoming. I teach a little bit of everything. I teach kind of basic magical practice, very simplified of everything. I teach psychic development. I teach psychic protection. I teach really simple tarot. Not like an in-depth class. It's like you're going to get it an hour and a half.
Right.
Hacks along the way. I teach things from my book, Old World Magic for the Modern World, kind of just that tips and tricks and techniques to help day-to-day life stuff. I practical magic classes, how to clear your house classes, love classes, weight and health classes. Again, all from both a practical, easy. You don't have to go out and find, you know, I have Newt anywhere to do things. You don't have to have special
right.
powers. But, you know, and just getting us back in touch, because working with people for decades, like I've done my one-on-one things, what I notice is that, number one, we are amazing. Humans are amazing. We are these divine creatures that have free will. So we're superpowers. But we forget it, or we don't know, or it's all got taught out of us. We're all like, we've given away our power. So my whole gig, yes. whatever, my psychic side, my medium side, my ghost wrangler on TV side, my witchy side, is really just about reminding people how amazing we are, that we give away our power to other people. We give away our power to limiting belief systems, whether what we were brought up with or religious or just personal creation. We give away our power to fear. It's just like, just tweak it and you get it back. You get it back in bundles, and then you create
yes.
the life you want. So all my teaching, whatever it is, if it looks all mystical and magical, divination tools, it's really all leading to that just, you know, it's really easy to be your best you.
Right. Right. No, I agree with that. I agree with that. Now, a question that I have is that, do you believe that everyone has the ability to tap into all the clair senses? And do you think that some of us are born with one that is more dominant than the others?
Yes, I yes and yes. I think we're born with it, that 90% of our brain that we don't use, that we haven't figured out yet, but it's really, really has got taught out of us. Our modern Western society is the least mystical, magical. I mean, even our religion isn't very mystical or magical anymore. It's like, oh, that's your imaginary friend. No, it's not.
Yes.
No, it's not. I've got the information on what's going to happen tomorrow. We are just, we prize all things left brain, you know, even taking art out of schools, even taking, so left and logical
yes.
brain. Yes, we need that. That gets us through life. That pays our bills. That takes everything that we do. But that right creative brain, that's where you're going to get your clairs. That's where you're going to be able to talk to spirits and communicate with the fae, all those magical things. But the left brain will shut it down. You have to learn to dance between. Because if you go, wow, grandma's standing behind me, and then you go, oh, that doesn't make sense. Grandma's there. Bah, bah, bah. Somebody open the window. It's like,
yep.
You just shut it down. So just say yes. Okay, it's grandma. If you want to analyze it, wait 2 hours. Was that grandma or was that indigestion? Fine. But the more you say yes, and the more you try
right.
not to fall into logic, like in the craft, we would like lay down our broom. There's a thing on this side is where the logical world lives. And over here is where rules don't count. Gravity doesn't matter. Spirits exist. Magic. We could do everything. And the more you can divide those two, the better and stronger both get. I do think we probably have dominant. It's really easy to test your dominant clairs, clairvoyant, clairaudient, because there's seeing, smelling, tasting, hearing, knowing, feeling, and they're all slightly different and valid. And even on the seeing people, I see, sometimes you see in front of you, I see a shadow figure with a big hat, or sometimes you see it inside your head, I see a shadow head. Both are valid, mm-hmm. The same with smelling and hearing or knowing or feeling or tasting. You could test yourself, and I do this in class all the time. Even right now, like everybody, wherever you're standing, wherever you're looking, look around your room, like slowly do a 360 or 180 each way. Scan your room. And then you do it to both sides. And then I have people close their eyes, and then I have them describe or look or go back to remember what they saw or felt. Some people are going to be very visual about it. Some people are going to be coming from an emotional place. Some people are going to almost, your power, more powerful things are going to stand out with just, when you're not thinking about it and you've scanned the room. Is it a knowing? Is it a feeling? Is it a literal seeing? Is it?
Right.
It's pretty easy. And I think they all can be developed just like, and by anybody. I do think people have different, stronger gifts than others, just like, mm-hmm. Everybody can take piano lessons. Anybody can learn to play the piano. Not everyone is going to be a concert pianist. I'm one. No, studied piano for three right. years. I can read music. I could play Love Is Blue in Guantanamera. That shows how long ago I took it. There is not a single iota in me that's going to, put me on a concert stage.
Right.
It's good that I've learned to do it. And if everybody learns, to read their music, again, it just gets us back in touch. That numbness that we got is, whether you want to be a clairvoyant or talk to dead people or talk to spirits, it gets us in touch with ourselves that we've numbed out to. I right. really think that that's even what the pandemic was about. It's like, wake up. We had to get hit on the head with a 2x4 and literally sent to our room to figure it all out. And we
yes.
We use the terms asleep at the wheel, by rote, automatic pilot, phoned in. It's like,
yeah.
So that's why my little magical, very elemental, very basic, follow moon cycles, guys. We are almost 60% right. water. It's not just the crazy full moon, like they'll tell you at the police station or the hospital. It's every moon. So if we mm-hmm. tune into that, and the 2 weeks the moon is waxing, we're consciously adding into our life more money, ask for a raise then, do whatever. The 2 weeks the moon is waning, let go. That's when you start the diet. That's when you quit smoking. The full moon, get out in mm-hmm. gratitude. The new moon, and ask for what you want. The new moon, the dark moon, that's when you go inside and contemplate. Whether you're doing some official spell working or you're just living that day to day, all of a sudden, the good stuff in your life gets better faster and faster. The not good or bad, but the stuff you don't need anymore starts falling away with grace and ease because you've tapped into your tides, that 60% water. Easy. Anybody can do it.
Right. No, that's wonderful. That's perfect. I love that so much. So do you have a moment within all of the spirituality, all of the everything that you've done, do you have a moment that was the most powerful to you that you'd be willing to share?
I think the one that and this is a story I've told before, but the one that showed both, saying you're going to get the sensationalism of like, what the, and the magic of the proof of what magic works. It's my little spontaneous combustion story. I've been doing seances since I was 7 or 8. Again, I've been talking to dead people since I could talk. I did my first seance at 7 or 8 in my little suburban home. I didn't even really know what it was. I just came up with my first chant, how to lift the veil, how to talk to dead people. Oh, wait, I don't know dead people. Okay, Marilyn Monroe. And I don't know anybody, a 7 or 8 year old, why I knew Marilyn, I don't know. John Kennedy, all the people. And so I've been doing these for decades, literally. So I was doing a seance. There's a house in my neighborhood. I live in the Hollywood Hills, an old, one of the first movie enclaves built in the 1920s, my house in the 1920. This is one of the movie star houses built by Charlie Chaplin for one of his many girlfriends, Mary Astor, who was an old a movie star too. She was a film star. And it was a party house. It was a super party house, the 20s, 30s, 40s, and crazy decadent party house. In the 60s, the Rolling Stones manager bought it, and it was a party house. The Rolling Stones stayed there, the Mamas and Papas, Graham Parsons. All these musicians stayed there, and then they moved out. And then the person who invented the real life sex doll moved in, and he lived there. Different kind of party. And then he moved out, and Marilyn Manson moved in and was my neighbor for 7 years. So, and he recorded there. So the house is never going to have a family of four. Lovely. It looks almost like it was built by a sacred geometry, like a mason or something. It's like, oh, look at four level spiral staircase. Oh, look, exactly 12 panels in this. Oh, look, there's literally a compass painted in the hardwood floor. Ooh, the vines. It's like a magic house. obviously attracted creative people. So anyway, I was brought in to do a seance. They were doing a thing calling it the Mary Astor House, about this crazy house that the neighbors had talked about forever. And so I was doing a seance, and there was very much young people at the table that just post puberty, before you get too far in your 20s, your life force is so strong. That's when stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Always. I speak at colleges a lot. It's like, whoa, because your life force, and you haven't got it all, you know, organized yet, you know, as you do farther into your 20s. So that's when paranormal stuff and magical stuff. So I had a table full of these really young people in this kind of crazy, chaotic, powerful house. And four cameras going, that's great, because we're shooting a documentary. And this one kid, it got kind of smart alecky, because I do say, I go, it's okay to be skeptic, try to be open for your own sake, whatever. But the one thing I do ask is you have to be respectful, because you either believe or not, it's real. So you have to be respectful. But this one kid was just, maybe because he was on TV, maybe because he was just a smart alec kid. So he was starting to say things that were really upsetting this one spirit. There were three major spirits there, none of them demonic. Demons get way too much credit. 99% of what people call demons are just cranky ass ghosts. No, it's big in life, big in death. When you're in Hollywood, you're going to get big personalities, not Bob the banker. But anyway, this one spirit was getting agitated, and this kid kept doing it. So at first it got to a point, all of a sudden he said something horrible. The French doors flew open. Everybody's screaming, screaming. And I'm like, wow, the producer side of me is going, wow, that's like special effects. Timing, it wouldn't be fake. I would never, ever fake anything. Again, my reputation depends on it. But everybody's screaming, close the French doors. I go, wow, okay, they're serious. As long as he said something else stupid again, it happened again. The French doors flew open, all on camera. It's like, screaming, close them up. Okay, I'm trying to keep a control on the energy the way I do. And then all of a sudden, he said something else stupid. And the speakers, you know, old school speakers, you stick them on the floor. How big can your speakers be? The opposite of now. How little can your speakers be? but the speakers came on the floor of this, right next to this old fashioned radio, like white noise, sounding like a spirit box. Like that happened twice. We looked later, it wasn't even plugged in. But anyway, this thing is building. This thing is building. We're using a Ouija board. I'm a Ouija believer. You just have to know how to use it.
Yes.
You just have to know how to use it. You know, don't ask anybody out there. Really? You're going to let anybody in your house? Yeah, maybe you should be a little picky. But anyway, we were using it and getting this really good information about stuff that had happened in the dirt basement. It's always the dirt basement. That's where Marilyn recorded and all this stuff. So anyway, he said something really stupid again. All of a sudden, not him, but one of the cameramen facing him, the skeptic of the group, super skeptic facing him, burst into flames, burnt up his back, a V of fire up his back, like angel wings of fire. It wasn't in front of a fireplace or anything. Everybody's screaming. Two cameras actually caught it. One camera like hit the ceiling, hit the floor. I guess you do test the ability of a cameraman by the room bursting into flames. His camera, he's facing the other way. He's sitting there wondering why people are screaming and pointing at him as his shirt is burning off him on the back. And it burned off him like it was a polyester or nylon. It was a cotton. It should not have went poof like that. And all of a sudden, cool witch medium Patty becomes medic Patty, of which I am. I'm an EMT. I'm like, drop and roll. And I'm calling in my wards and guardians to shut this down. I am sorry. Seance is over. I don't care what we're doing. You know, nobody bursts into flames on my watch. Not okay. Not okay. And I'm rolling him around, every screaming. But the cameraman And he was very inspired by this. All of a sudden, he's a believer. He's like, no, I'm okay. As I'm watching the blistering on his back.
Wow.
And no. He goes, no, really, I have a sweater. He took off the burnt shirt. He's like, I'm fine, really. I talked to the spirit as much as you could. I'm like, we're not even going to get rid of it at the end. Usually I shut it down. The guys who live here don't want it. So the spirit sort of agreed. The kid was no longer going to be any problem at all. He became the choir boy in the corner. Yeah. What? So we continued the seance. Crazy stuff happened. Glass flew out of the cupboard. They did try to push Laurent, the cameraman, kind of, why does my phone, it's all turned up. It keeps singing. Haunted everything. I'm just gonna throw it in a drawer. That doesn't fit. So anyway, so we finished the seance, we got information. It was just crazy night. But the crazy thing was, 3 weeks later, he showed me, Lauren, the cameraman, he showed me my back. He goes, look at my back. And I swear, it looked like he had went and got a tattoo of a dragon. Open where the blistering was. Open mouth, sharp teeth, winged head into the shape of a serpent.
Oh.
That is the exact energy I called in to shut down the seance. I work dragon energy. Wow. I work dragon magic. I have dragons everywhere. Look at that one.
Oh, I love it.
I'm like, that's the guardians I had put there. Crossroads magic. I'm like, oh my God, you have a tramp stamp of a dragon on your back. That is like the coolest thing I have ever seen. So he was so inspired. Yes, this is such confirmation. He was so inspired. He actually wrote a horror film about this TV psychic who does every TV show basically about me, and doing yet another reality show about me. And then, a portal opens and then hell breaks loose and becomes a horror film. He wrote it with Stephen Norrington, the guy who wrote League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and the Blade series. And they haven't done it yet. I hope they do it. But I actually sat down with him with the script 5 hours, my dining room table. I'm like, Laurent, you can't say that on camera. You can't say that. He goes, you said it. I go, I know I said it. That opens a veil. You can't say that. You don't want to be one of those cursed horror films, do you? That's what happens. Spirits, ghosts, energy don't know the difference of TV movies versus reality. That's what happens with all those like exorcists and films. They really open portals and don't know how to deal with it. And they don't have somebody there who knows how to handle it. So if it ever does get down, we've taken out all the words that really could cause something and made them very, mundane things that sound good. But, all the actors won't die after playing the film. So I think that would be my most, I haven't topped that one. I've had some insane stuff between Ghost Adventures and then just this is what I do now going out.
Right.
But my only spontaneous combustion and hopefully last, but that was one that again, both showed the power of spirit and the power of our control over spirit, working with our guides, whether whatever side of the veil, I still firmly believe. And I have since I was a kid that this is our realm of existence. The other side really does have to play by our rules. And people don't know that. So they give their power away. When you see somebody all possessed on TV, even if it's me, you've given that over. And people don't, because they don't know better. Unless you have a severe addiction problem, that's a different story. Or a severe mental imbalance, that's a different story. You just claim it in the name of whatever, whoever you believe in. And we have the power, but nobody knows that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was muted, but I did have a good laugh when you said that demons get too much credit.
Don't they? Oh my God.
And I wanted to ask you about that specifically, because that is something that it's like a hot topic, I guess, that, I'm out ghost hunting and it was a demon that I ran into or something. Like why do you think that has become such a popular thing? And in your experience, what is the difference like between a spirit with a bad attitude that's grumpy and just wants to scare you and let it be known that it's there, and an actual like demonic type entity?
I think it's a very, very, very big difference. And like I said, most of the time, it's just a cranky ghost or a cranky elemental or a cranky whatever that, or a wannabe. There's so many wannabe. It's like, just like the bully kid on the schoolyard is all these like, oh, it's a demon. Yeah, I'm a demon. They call me a demon. That's what I picture them like. I'm a demon now. You know, and I think that's gotten mostly because of TV, I think. I mean, my guys, it's like In Search of the Demon. It just isn't so romantic to go In Search of the Grumpy Ghost, you know.
That's true.
And so, and they're always looking for the dark, sadly, because that's what we want to see. Humans watch the news, watch anything. It's not the good news we're going to see. We want to. The first thing is, how many people died in the house? What's going on? For whatever reason, that's just our little quirky humanness. And I think that's honestly all it is. It's to dress it up as a demon, because demons are scary. Demons are scarier than cranky ghosts. And there's powerful different levels of everything, just like there's powerful people and weak people. There's the same thing with spirits on the other side. But I think, again, I think if it really is something that is so demonic, you're not going to be questioning it. You're not going to be questioning it. And so many people who have serious, like they go demonic attachments, you're not going to be questioning it. You know, they probably put you in the mental hospital. That's it.
Right.
Yes, you can get little attachments along the way. You're being influenced by, you're being this and that, and that more often than not. But we always take it to the extreme because that's what humans do.
Right. You know, I've been curious when it comes to doing an investigation at a haunted location. And there are some people that like to, what is it? Like they bully, they call out, they're aggressive.
Yeah. They like provoke.
Provoke, the word.
Provoking, yes, that's the word. Well, if you go in and you provoke, technically then can't you, if you go in, let's say I go in first and I provoke and then you go in, don't I leave an energetic signature that has that kind of negative energy? So then when somebody else comes in, then they could be assuming that that is a negative spirit.
Yes. And they've gotten in a bad mood. If you walk into anything, you walk into a house, you walk into a store, and you haven't even talked to somebody yet, you are screaming at them, are you going to help me here? Or what? Are you going to help me? Are you here? Are you even here? Really? You're going to step back, either yell back or just not even talk. But if you go in, hi, is there somebody here? And most of the shows have finally learned that. My guy, Zach, has. They don't provoke anymore, hardly ever, unless there's some really specific. It's interesting, though, because I know some Catholic priests still do that do exorcism. Oh. They still do the provoke. Because, again, everybody's a demon for them, I guess. Maybe they think anything is spirit is a demon. Just different cosmologies. But they still provoke. It's like, I guess maybe because they think everything evil. But again, if you really do want results, if you really do want communication, that's not the way to go. And most people are finally learning that. And you're 100% right. Yes, you leave that anger in the room. You leave that provoking in the room.
Can an egregore be created from that? So if I go in and I provoke, I leave the negative energy, you come in, you feel it, you believe it's a negative energy, and then you start telling everybody else that it's negative, and then everybody thinks that it is.
Yep. I think almost, I don't know percentage-wise, because I don't sit there and do the math, but a large percent. Right. I clear houses all the time. I've cleared everything from the Aaron Spelling mansion, the biggest sit in LA. I had to get the ghost of Aaron Spelling out of the bedroom so the new owners could, and that's weird. I'm like, he was the guy who produced Love Boat. He was Mr. Producer of the 80s and Fantasy Island. And I'm having to banish spirit out of the most expensive house in LA. I've literally had to get out I've cleared the Phil Spector murder castle. Talk about oozy black things all over this literal castle in the middle of the day. But honestly, as much as not, what is created in the house is not coming from some ghost or demon or spirit or elemental coming in. It's self-created. Egregores. We anger and fighting and this and doubt and the desire and this and that. We create these spirits. You guys know that, but regular people, I guess, apparently just don't know that. They're creating their own stuff. And then that becomes a poltergeist, which it became, creates its own stuff, you know?
Right. Now that also brings me to another question I had. Is there anywhere, because I know that you just recently, didn't you go to the Cecil Hotel recently?
Yes, I did the Ghost Adventures one that it's been airing a month now on the new Disco, the 2-hour one. That was crazy because Zach, he does this. He never lets me to know where I'm going. He does it on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
He won't tell me what happened. He called me 2 weeks before and he said, okay, Patty, I'm going to be in LA in 2 weeks. I'm going to call you. Okay. Nothing. 2 weeks later, it was like, hi, this is Zach. Can you get here in 2 hours? And I'm a girl. I'm going, did I wash my hair today? Do I have time to put on
right?
I'm not thinking about it. And he gave me an address. I don't even think he said Cecil. It was just kind of like a, so I'm going downtown and you see the Cecil because it's a landmark. I'm like, that's that place. That's the girl in the water tower. That's all I knew. But I'm walking up to it. And a rat didn't want to let me in. I'd go right, the rat'd go right, I'd go left. It's Skid Row. I'm not afraid of rats. It's like, well, it's either a possessed rat or he's trying to protect me, rat. I don't know. But I get in and this energy just starts pounding me in. I'm still, because I allow myself, they're going to trance state.
Right.
And then Zach and the crew shows up. They've already got their cameras strapped on. They go, okay, Patty, there's 14 floors. There's 14 floors. There's 700 rooms. They're all open. You tell us where to go. And the human side of me wants to go, what the hell? Oh my God. But I just faith. Okay. Right. Go in the elevator. Oh, this is that elevator. Push the button. And I led them right. I don't want to do a spoiler alert, but I read them to a room where Zach thinks I'm jumping out the window. I'm opening the window going, I got to get out of here. I'm in trance. And I'm just kind of going, why is Zach yelling at me? He's never yelled at me before. Oh, yeah. And I'm in my little trance state and everybody's saying, don't jump. I'm like, what? I just have to get out of here. And I led them right to a room where somebody jumped out. And then I led them to another room that all of a sudden I'm being attacked. I'm holding myself like a kid who has to go to the bathroom. Like, don't go there. Don't go there. And he's like, what's happening? What's happening? Where are you being attacked? And the part of me that's still conscious is going, how do you say that body part on television? Lady part, girl parts, I don't know. So we got all sorts of great stuff that isn't, maybe they'll do it, that isn't on that show because you can only do so much in 2 hours. But hopefully maybe they'll do an extra show or something because we got some other really great stuff. But I just was there again 2 weeks ago with some YouTubers.
With
Elton Castillo and the TFIL crew, which are the number one paranormal. It's great. I'm hanging out with all these boys. I'm literally these 20-something kids. Me, it's mom running around. Like, but they rented the whole Cecil Hotel. They actually rented the first night we did the music suite at the Biltmore. Some of the most amazing stuff I ever got, like a $5,000 night suite. Most amazing stuff. That should be dropping soon to YouTube. Okay. Within the next week or so. And then they rented the whole Cecil Hotel too. And YouTubers don't have what TV shows have. I didn't get to go to the roof the nights I was there with Ghost Adventures. I'm like, can I go to the roof? Once I'm conscious, nope, there's not a fire marshal here right now. These guys don't have a fire marshal. The YouTubers don't have a fire. I did a seance up on the roof. I can't, the stuff that we did under the shade of the the thing is in, we did some amazing things and that should, they're all going to drop before April 25th. I know it could be this week, next week, but that place is insane. The Cecil is just, I think there's something there. I probably created egregore, something out of, maybe it was something real that became something. It affects living people and makes them, you know, makes them bigger, better serial killers than they were with the Richard Ramirez or whatever. Makes people jump out of windows and OD. And it has been a drug place for a long time. That always affects everything. But I think it affects living people that go there. And I think it also is holding a bunch of spirits in there. A bunch of spirits.
Yeah, that would make sense. Now, is there anywhere that you have been that you will never, ever go again?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think so. I like challenges. If anybody had a hobby, mine is to like break the odds challenge. So I can't think of anywhere I wouldn't go. No, I would be well warded, well protected. I'd put my, you know, titanium magic suit of whatever on, but.
Right.
Is there a place then that's like the biggest challenge so far that you want to have another shot at investigating?
I would love, because I've got a beef against him now, the Black Dahlia House. I've done two seances there. One was years ago, a non-paranormal show, but I was doing a seance, a real estate show, which was funny because they don't know how to deal. It's like, why did our camera batteries drain? I'm like, get used to it. But with that Dr. George Hodel, who's the doctor who lived there, he definitely did it. He cut up this woman who hates women, hates people, horrible. And then I did I did a Ghost Adventures there too. And we actually did cross over a girl on Ghost Adventures. Again, you won't see it. That would be cutting room floor but it was right. Amazing with Mona Hodel. We had not Elizabeth Short, but another girl. We did that. Go to the Lake Carol Ann, the whole thing with Zach F. Aaron, with Mona Hodel, the whole thing. It was amazing. But that doctor is evil, and he's been created into something much bigger than just a dead serial killer doctor. Because I was, and my beef, and I would love to get back there, is I was doing something a year ago, I guess, an earlier version of my podcast, and it was kind of a seance and crime thing. So I had Associated Press reporter came up, a crime reporter, Linda Deutsch, most famous lady. She got famous on Charles Manson and O.J. Simpson and Michael, all that. She was the face of the Associated Press. We were going to do a thing on the Black Dahlia. And my then producer, who quit the next day, we were setting up for this seance, and we're going to do the George Hodel and figure out Black Dahlia stuff. My producer, before anybody got over, she goes, she wanted to pull out the Ouija board because she had a friend she talked to all the time, just like texting. It was that easy. I got lazy. I broke all my own rules. I didn't set up my wards. I didn't set up my protection. I didn't open up the board correctly. And so we were talking to her friend. All of a sudden, I got slammed into the back of my dining room chair. I hear this crack, crack, crack. Nobody behind me. And I'm like sliding down to the floor. And she's going, Patty, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not. And I always say I'm fine. Really, I could have my entire arm cut off. Like, it's fine. It's a flesh wound.
Right.
And I'm like, I had to go to urgent care. I thought I had broke my ribs, but he had hit me with such hard force that it ripped all the cartilage off my floating ribs. I was in severe pain for like months. In my own dining room. I allowed that in my own friggin' dining room, which is just so against everything that I do in my warded house. And my So I would love to get back in there.
And Oh, please, go ahead.
No, I said the guy who owned it, I don't know. It's been for sale forever. Maybe it finally sold. I don't know. I haven't been following it. But I was like, you know why it won't sell? Because people walk in and it's icky. As beautiful as it is, I could clear it. A lot of people could clear it. But if you really want to sell it, you should let somebody clear it. You're not selling it on as a haunted thing. You sell it out for mostly regular movies, but you didn't care. So, But anyway, you were saying.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, sometimes those things happen. I mean, you know, I went with Heather for my very first time ever doing a investigation. And I don't know. I mean, yes, am I sensitive? Yeah. I've experienced things since I was a child. But I guess part of me didn't fully believe that anything was really going to happen that night. And everybody was in the entry, and I was like, well, can I go walk around? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. And I had warned everybody that I might, you know, just kind of wander off. Because sometimes you just get in this weird, I don't know, trance, and then you just go. So I went myself downstairs right by, it was like the morgue and doctor's office area. And I really legitimately felt somebody touch the back of my head. It was like their fingers were in my hair, and I shot up all the steps and I ran down the hallway, and I'm just like shocked. But then later, after I had calmed down, I kind of just thought, you know what? That's not going to happen again. Like, what's the chances of it happening again? And so I walked off by myself again in this big place, but nothing really crazy did happen after that. But then as I have been going to more classes and studying this stuff more, now I realize what a position I actually put myself in.
Yeah.
So,
they need to, and I'm going to start, I've been working on it because I do teach lots of psychic protection classes. I need, do you know, Kedrick Olson, beautiful man.
Yeah, of course.
Kedrick, he has really put together beautiful psychic protection for paranormal investigators because they need it. Mm-hmm. And so many of them don't even have any kind of a spiritual or magical bent. They're just a bunch of people who want to go out and talk to ghosts. So they really need it. So I'm going to start working his method or the stuff that I put together, start doing it. And he needs to get it out at Paracons and stuff because you're opening up a big door. You're opening up a big veil and people don't know who or what they're going to call if they get into trouble. I mean, a billion things work within your own belief system or cosmology, but have something that you're going to do.
Oh, yeah. No, I had spoke to him after her and I got home and he has this. There's like a meditation that he does that helps with clearing all of that because her and I had definitely dealt with, it was a really bad headache. I think it was her and I and some of the other members. Heather, I don't remember how long that headache lasted though, but I know that we were drained.
Yeah, it lasted a couple of days. It's been interesting that what I've noticed is a few different places that I've been to, the feeling afterwards can be completely different. And it's not necessarily even tied to the amount of activity that we had in the evening. There's one place, Madison Seminary, that I've gone to a handful of times. And every time I leave there, regardless of how much has happened, for days afterwards, I just am drained. I'm drained when we leave. But then the most recent place that I went to was the historic Licking County Jail around Columbus, Ohio. And all kinds of stuff happened. It was really active. And I left energized. I had no hangover feeling the next day. I mean, like, it was so odd, just the way things feel afterwards.
Well, maybe you're learning to do it. I call that a hangover, too. I call it ritual hangover, a paranormal hangover, because they use your energy. So really the biggest portal on our body, right where our head and neck come together, right where that base of the spine, that is the biggest portal. Always put your protection oil there, that is why if you pray, you bow your head to open up for God, spirit gods. People don't get that. Whatever you can put your third eye, your palms, the soles of your feet, put it right there, there. And if you don't have an oil or something to protection, close it up energetically, seal it energetically, do a sigil or something on it. And then you're going to keep stuff from getting in. And that's also, I think, this, what I call the crown of illumination. This is, you know, you see old fashioned pictures of holy people with like the little halos. This is that powerful area. All of our regular five senses are right here. And our six senses are right there between the third eye right here and that portal at the back that opens up. So this is where spirit can really communicate. So if you kind of protection of that, but I would say you're just learning how to do the energy. I do too. It's like, awesome. Ooh, I got the hangover from energy, but bringing home headaches, and stuff, that's rough. That means you've let something stick in there. So just really, there's a million ways to do it. Just when you're done with the investigation, you end it, you stop it. You don't take anything home with you. You clear it out.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said that right there. I didn't realize that at the back of the head because a few years ago, my husband can sense things and we had gone to Mansfield Reformatory or Shawshank Prison where the Shawshank Redemption was filmed. And he was feeling different things and I was getting nothing. Even my children were seeing stuff or feeling stuff. And I was frustrated at one point because I'm like, how are you guys feeling all this stuff? And I'm not getting anything. And my husband said, you know, walk over here. This is like a wall. This feels like a wall. Walk over here. You got to feel something. And I walked there and I'm like, there's nothing. Now, what I had been noticing was a tingle at the back of my head, at the base of my skull. But I thought that's just me wanting to feel that. So I was ignoring it. But whenever I walked there and I didn't feel anything, I turned around. I'm like, this is BS. Like, how are you guys feeling stuff? And I'm not. And as soon as I said that, it felt like somebody took a baseball bat right to the back of my skull. Like, right there is where you should be paying attention. And I doubled over in pain. And I was like, okay, got it.
Got it. Thank you. Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
That's
great. Yeah. I didn't realize that that was like an actual, like, right there. I mean, I took it as pay attention, but I didn't realize the significance behind
that
place.
That's a huge portal, right? That base of your spine. And again, that's why people don't realize why we do things like, if whatever your version of prayer is, why would you bow your head? It's not so you look down, it's so you open that.
Yeah. That's cool. One thing that I wanted to ask you is, as far as investigations go, do you see any merits toward going to a place where you don't know any history of it? Like you said, Zach has done with you. He doesn't tell you where you're going, versus knowing a complete history before going into an area. How does that affect your experiences?
With me, I don't, as a rule, don't want to know. I don't want to be colored by it. I don't want to worry that I'm throwing it over to my left logical brain about anything. If I don't know, then whatever I get is whatever I get. That's why right. I even didn't. When we went into the Cecil, I never focused on the Alyssa Lamb stuff. I just said, let spirit take me somewhere. I just know there was a girl in the water tower. I don't need to go there.
Right.
So, but I think like if you're on a team investigation, should have both. I think you should have, maybe it's one of your tech people or one of your more people keep track of things that you know the whole history of, oh yeah, this basement is where this happens. Let's go there. This is what this happens. But if you're having, you're more intuitive or you're medium on your team or you're sensitive or your sensitive's plural, it's not bad for at least one person to not know anything to see what they get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That makes sense. That's what I've been telling the guys on my team to not tell me anything about any place.
Right. And again, then what you get is going to be real, and then again, just get out of your own way. That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Because there's also been times where something has happened and it's almost unbelievable, the whatever you've seen or experienced. And you're like, how did that? I don't know how this is happening right now. Even in the moment, I'm like, what is happening? And it's good to have extra people there too, to help verify some of that sometimes.
Yeah.
But
it is. That's what I like, because I'm not a tech girl. I'm not an equipment girl. My biggest, dowsing rods in my hand, you know, that's it. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I want something that shows signs, but what's fun, you know, starting working with like the tech, it's like, because my whole life I've been like, okay, well, there's a spirit on the table and he's going kick left, kick left, kick left, kick left, but they just have to take my word for it. Now Billy or Aaron or somebody's in the other room with an SLS camera and there's a little green stick person doing that exact kick left, kick left. I'm like, yeah, that, you know, and we're separate, nobody knows what's going on. I just love that confirmation of it. It's like through technology it's all matching up. And that's
cool. Yeah, we've had instances where people, we saw something that was odd, and then the next location that we go to, someone that's there like that works there, this last time at the jail, the woman that worked there said, you know, it's odd, I had a dream last night about you guys coming, and I never have a dream about work, I never have a dream about this building, but in the dream. And she goes to recount something that happened, and it involved a very small, like 3 foot tall spirit or whatever, walking around, and it had really bothered her. And it was just funny because the very last place that we went to, which was at Madison, we ran into that thing, and it really put us through a loop. And for her to have that dream when we hadn't communicated with her at all. And so then when she finished telling us her dream, we're like, well, actually, we already dealt with that before, and she got chills, and it's cool when you get that confirmation.
Yeah, and it shows that there's not time and space on the other side. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's also been times where we've had I haven't experienced this, but I've heard of other people experiencing where, whether it's through like a spirit box, or the phasma box or whatever. a spirit from one area coming through. The one that they've only ever encountered in one building is coming through to them in a completely different location. And it's mind-boggling to think of that, because we're so used to our human plane that we see.
Yeah, cool. It is mind-boggling. That I love being mind-boggled all the time. Yes. Wow.
Yes.
Now, I can't remember, Heather, when we were both there doing the investigation, I know that both of us were on the spirit boxes. Now, because when I go into something like that, I don't have a memory of it. I listen and I say whatever, and then after the session is done, I don't know why I can't remember what happened, but I don't. And I think, didn't something happen to where I said something and you said something, almost like you and I were talking to one another, even though we were in separate rooms?
Yeah. That happened with us. And I think that happened the one time we were on separate floors. And then it happened recently too with Travis, and I did the same thing in two different areas. And people that were listening, it was a conversation somehow. Like, we were feeding off of each other, I guess. And I don't really remember, like you, I don't remember too much when I'm doing the Estes thing. I might remember certain words, and then I'll ask later, what was that about? And then they'll, they'll say what they, 'cause I don't know what they're asking or anything, but,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I don't remember
causes that memory loss.
Not memory loss. It's 'cause you're in a form of a trance state, whatever. It's all right brain. It's not, you're putting your logic into it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember hardly anybody. Even if I'm doing a deep session with somebody the next day, what'd you talk about? I don't know. You know, it's not like I've forgotten. It was just like channeled through. When I see stuff on TV, it's like I'm watching it for the first time. It's like, a little moment, like you said, a word, because that was your conscious head step in and said, "Oh, let's do this," or "Well, my thing." That's the part that your consciousness, like, oh, how do you say that body part? I remembered that. But the rest of it, when you're just that channel or from spirit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Because, I was always curious about that, thinking, well, gosh, what's happening? I don't understand this. But now I do. So thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah. I was wondering sometimes if we didn't tune into, because the main idea behind something like the Estes method is that you're hearing communication, you know, they're asking and then you're being the vessel through which they communicate. But based on what happened last time, I wonder if sometimes we're not also tuning into like a movie reel that we're just watching, because of just the context of something. Like, I think at one point they told me, I said, "What's with the body on the floor?" or, you know, whatever. And then he said from the other room, "It's buried under the floor." I could hear like a chanting, and I remember the only way I could describe it is, I'm like, it sounds like somebody saying a prayer, like a preacher is just spouting off something. And then he would hear it too, but it was almost when they recounted back what he was saying, and then the feelings that I felt too, I felt like we were just watching it instead of them communicating through us necessarily. It's just, here's the scene that's playing out before me. That
that could be, because that's residual. You get that a lot, you know, like the lady in white that walks by every hour where she died on her, that poor ghost didn't do that. That's like, it's like video. It's like something so strong happened. It just like poured the thing, and it's exactly that. It's like video.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I have one last question for you. I am curious, what is your earliest magical memory?
Ooh, what a great question. I think it is either a cross between what my little playmate that I, in looking back, the little guy, the little one, the little playmate that my imaginary friends that I knew weren't imaginary, and they were also little. And now I'm going, wow, were those like aliens or something? I don't know. Were they little monkeys? I think that not understanding that everybody didn't have that, or I'm going to even lean more towards that, just my in connection with nature, even though I lived in a suburban typical track house in Long Beach, me just knowing that if I just got this rosemary off the plant and the mint and stuffed it in my mom's wallet, that it would give her more money. And knowing that, I mean, she didn't quite appreciate or get that. Like, why are you stuffing this stuff in my money, mom? And, you know, and then years later, you're studying all this stuff and like, yeah, it does.
So I think I love that.
Just trusting what's in the blood, you know, trusting that knowledge that we do have.
Right. Oh, wow. Well, gosh, thank you so much. It has been a wonderful time with you. I cannot thank you enough for coming on with us. If you could let everybody know where they can find you.
Yes. Everywhere. Bathroom walls. No. My PattyNegri.com, PattyNegri.com. From that, of course, all the social medias, please like me, follow me. Patty Negri Psychic Medium on Facebook, Patty.Negri on Instagram, at Patty Negri on Twitter. I do have a YouTube page where I actually teach a few things. I teach, again, I have a newsletter. You can sign up on my website. I teach about twice a week now. I teach for House of Intuition on Thursdays, a $10 class. I don't want that anybody can't afford to do anything that they want to learn to do. So I have a little $10 class and then the longer, more in-depth one with Haunted Diary. I love working with Nick on usually Sundays. So PattyNegri.com, and from there, it's just a big old like octopus.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And my book, Old World Magic for the Modern World, you can get that on Amazon or a link on my website. And
awesome.
Just makes you look a little bit happier. That's it.
Perfect. Yay.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. You guys are great hosts. Really fun. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you for taking time to talk to us.
Yes, for sure.
Circles round my head, leaves go up in flames of red, in flames of red. Worry ties me to the ground, feathers fall without a sound, without a sound. Burn on, dear flame, burn on, there's a light in the fire. Burn on, dear flame, burn on. The black hawk calls to your deepest desire. Dead, old, rotten idea. You grow heavy, then you fall. So heavy, then you fall to the ground. They turn red and then they fall, so red and then they fall to the ground. I'm making wings black as night. I wait until the time is right. Burn on, dear flame, burn on. There's a light in the fire. Burn on, dear flame, burn on. The black hawk calls to your deepest desire. Black Hawk calls to your deepest desire.